Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder about the Leonard Lopate Show today. Total student debt is now bigger than credit card debt in this country. Today on Leonard's show, find out whether student loans could drive the next debt crisis. Plus, Steve-O, one of the stars of the MTV stunt show Jackass, today at noon on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. Now we continue with our series, The New Littles. Every Thursday this month, we're exploring some of the ethnic neighborhoods and communities you might not know much about. You know how Little Italy was named a century ago? Lots has changed since then. There really isn't much Little Italy anymore, except the restaurants. So what are the new littles? Our guest throughout the month is Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center, and the man behind the website Social Explorer, which does great stuff with census numbers. Check it out at Social Explorer. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks a lot, Brian. I'm delighted to be here. I am in a cool location, so I don't have the problem that the teachers were having.
Oh, are you home, or is Queens College
I'm
well?
I'm home.
All right. Is Queens College well air conditioned?
Our building is. So they have a power event today. So I don't know. They may be turning it down.
Power event? You mean there's
New York Power Authority makes them turn down the air conditioning when it gets hot.
Right. Okay. And of course, college. I guess there's summer school. But college generally is out in May. But listeners, we did this last week, and we'll continue to do it throughout this month on Thursday. So if you want to nominate a new little, give us a call. For example, some of the ones we already heard about on last week's show, Little Brazil in Astoria, Little Senegal in High Bridge in the Bronx, Little Ecuador in Corona, Queens. We're actually going to reach out to Francisco Moya, who was elected assemblyman from that district last year, becoming the first Ecuadorian-American elected official in the city. We'll try to talk with him. But if you've got another new little and want to help grow this list, give us a call right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or you can post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. That's also where we've posted this data set that Andrew Beveridge has given us of ethnic pockets around the city, the new littles. Anyone can go in and check out the data and annotate it. And as a group, we can crowdsource information there about the new littles at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Okay, Andrew, it's a week into this project. Have you learned anything? Did you already know about the Brazilians in Astoria or the Ecuadorians in Corona?
Well, I sort of knew about the Ecuadorians in Corona and the Brazilians in Astoria. The thing you don't realize, though, because, you know, New York is a very, very large place, is you don't really know exactly what's going on. Furthermore, the data we're using is census tract data. So those are about the size of 4,000 people, and it's also sample-based. So it's very possible that, you know, a large clump of people have moved in to various places that were, you know, that would be missed. And, you know, so I think that the Brazilians, for example, I think that's very, very interesting because, you know, heretofore, an awful lot of Brazilians have kind of, like, left New York. So that is actually very, very interesting. In terms of Ecuadorians, all throughout Northwest Queens, there's, you know, large increases of Ecuadorians, Salvadorans, all of the various groups from
South and Central America,
yeah. Mexicans as well, and it's been very, very interesting to see that. In fact, I think Northwest Queens, that area, Northwest Queens, kind of basically the 7 train, is probably one of the most diverse areas in the country. I mean, people always get into this, like, what is the most diverse?
Mm-hmm.
But that area has no. You know, you don't go there and say, oh, it's an Asian area, it's an Ecuadorian area, it's an Irish. In fact, there's Irish that have come back in that area.
Woodside.
Yeah. Well, also, Woodside, even over in Astoria, there's some new Irish bars. I mean, it's part of that, of course, has to do with the Irish economy kind of collapsing. But
right, and that's so interesting to watch, too. Irish economy collapsing. So, again, Irish people are coming to the United States after it had been the Celtic tiger there for a while. You mentioned Brazilians leaving because it's one of the so-called BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, that have growing economies while the United States is stagnating. So the immigration is going the other way. And when you talk about these census tracts, only about 4,000 people in a census tract, and your metric has been if more than 20% of the population is of one immigrant group or ethnic group in a census tract, if more than 20% of that census tract is that, then you may call it little something or other, right?
Well, yeah, that's what we're doing with this. But, I mean, I think there's still going to be, you know, like, say, the next set of littles, the people that are the nucleus of them may already have moved in here, and, you know, that could be missed. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always remembered this time I got a call from the Times, and they wanted to know about Iraqis in Idaho. And who would expect Iraqis to be in Idaho? And yet we tracked it back, and there was a small number of Iraqis came to Idaho in 1980. And by 2000, in this one area in Idaho, there was a substantial number of Iraqis. So
how about that?
What happens is it's what's called chain migration. And so some people show up, and then people follow. And, you know, I know over in Belrose, there was they were advertising Belrose in Pakistan, my students told me.
Belrose, Queens?
Yeah. They were actually advertising real estate in Belrose, from Belrose in Pakistan.
Well, let's start right in with one of the littles we heard about last week and dive deep a little bit on this. We had this call. O'Quinn from Brooklyn called us with his nomination for a new little.
Ocean Parkway is being loaded basically with people from former Soviet republic, which is called Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, and specifically from a little city from Uzbekistan called Samarkand. It's like you're going to see everybody speaking basically that city. They speak Persian, having new restaurants, and amazingly, you walk down the street in the Ocean Parkway and around the vicinity, you're going to see a lot of the people speaking in that specific language, which is Persian and also Russian.
So that was O'Quinn from Brooklyn calling in on last Thursday's show. So we now welcome to the show Farhad Moradov, president and co-founder of the Uzbek Initiative. I'm told that people call you Frank. Is that right?
That's right, Brian. Thanks for having me. And it's actually an exciting time for Uzbek community because we are diverse community of Uzbeks and Uzbek Jews. They call them Bukharian Jews. Mostly they're located in Riga Park, Forest Hills, Queens. But majority of Uzbeks live in Brooklyn. And the third largest part of our community lives in New Jersey, the Morris County. So, it's very exciting times for our small community. And the estimate of the community is about 100,000 Uzbeks in just New York area. So,
that is fascinating and exciting. How accurate is our caller's description, Ocean Parkway as a little Uzbekistan?
I would say it's a... You can call this Ocean Parkway, or you can call Ocean Avenue. And what's interesting about Uzbek community is it's spread around throughout the whole Brooklyn. You can find a large enclave of Uzbek community in Brighton Beach, which is a little Russia. And because we are Russian-speaking people from Central Asian part of the former Soviet Union, we can see most of the Uzbeks in Riga Park in Queens again, and then mm-hmm. we can see them in Ocean Parkway, Ocean Avenue, Coney Island, right. And Kings Highway
and, area. Can you tell us anything about that city that the caller mentioned, Samarkand? He said a lot of the Uzbekis here come from a little city called Samarkand. What's it like? Why are people coming here from there?
Yeah, it's a very good question, by the way, Brian. Samarkand is 2,700 years old city. It's a part of the UNESCO Heritage Preservation list. So Samarkand is a very dynamic, very popular place for tourists, and it's been very It's been very diverse for centuries, since Timberlane, and we have a very ethnic, richly diverse community in Samarkand, and especially we had and we still have a large Uzbek Jews community or Bukharian Jews community in Samarkand. And when they immigrated to U.S. and Israel, they basically kept a very tight relationship with the neighbors because they've been very friendly, integrated into the local community. So their relationship actually lasted for a while, and that's the reason why we see Samarkand is more dominating in the Uzbek community in New York.
Do they have Mitchell Lama housing in Samarkand? No, I'm just kidding. Farhad Moradov, president and co-founder of the Uzbek Initiative, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Andrew Beveridge is still with us from Queens College. And from Little Samarkand in Brooklyn to Little Liberia in Staten Island, another community we got a tip about last week. Please welcome Bernadette Ludwig, a PhD candidate at the CUNY Graduate Center, doing her dissertation on the Liberian community. Bernadette, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brian Lehrer. I'm very excited to be on the show and talk about the Liberians in Staten Island.
So what is an Austrian graduate student doing spending time with Liberian immigrants on Staten Island?
Well, when I came to the U.S., I worked with refugees and immigrants, and I founded a nonprofit organization called Culture Connect in Atlanta, Georgia. And then after having, you know, worked there for a while and put it into good hands, I decided to do a PhD. And Africans, I worked with a lot of Africans while I was in Atlanta. And so I think it somewhat naturally emerged as a great dissertation topic, and I'm very much interested in refugee topics.
Great.
Yeah, but I think one thing, Brian, is that there's been a huge increase of African immigrants in the New York metro area. And in the U.S. generally, it's well over a million African immigrants in the United States now, and people don't realize this.
And for a few minutes, we also welcome, joining this group, Telly Brown. He's president of the Staten Island Liberian Community Association and a deacon at the New Life Church of Staten Island. Deacon Brown, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brian.
So what should we know about the Liberian community on Staten Island, Deacon? Why Staten Island? What part of Staten Island, and what does this community tend to need?
Well, the Liberians on Staten Island are concentrated on the North Shore, in the North Shore area, that is Tiverton, Clifton area. And we came here many years ago. It's almost 30 years since Liberians began to come on this part of Staten Island. We've just found this place to be a home away from home.
Home away from home. In your studies, Bernadette, what are you looking at with respect to the Liberian community here?
I'm trying to see how they're recreating their lives here and what makes it challenging and what makes it easy. And what Telly Brown was seeing, that actually a lot of Liberians in my interviews mentioned that Park Hill is like Africa and it is a sense of home. And I think one of that issue is the market. They have women operate on market in the area, and people like to go there because they can get their food, and women are able to continue the same practices and the same cultural traditions they did in Liberia, which also enables the youth who are growing up in New York City now to learn about the culture. However, when you said, what do people need, the market right now needs a more permanent space, because right now in this heat, the people are just sitting on the sidewalks, and it really looks like an African market. But I think it's very vital to the community, and everybody I've talked to in the interviews mentioned how important this market is to keep the culture alive, to keep the children connected to where their parents came from, and also to keep like a sense of home and belonging.
Deacon, does it get this hot in Liberia?
Yeah, it gets hot, just that the humidity here makes it worse, but it really gets hot in Liberia, too.
I know that Bernadette told us that one of the issues that people in the community have is the difficulty of the transition from mostly rural parts of Liberia that people come from to the urban setting of New York City. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true, especially so you will agree with me that most of those who find themselves here came here as a result of a war situation. So it's like many of them came here from the rural area, and when they got to the United States, they did not have the opportunity to go through the necessary readjustment processes. So they have been finding themselves into a lot of problems. Yes, but even in the midst of that, there are some who have been very, very successful. There are Liberians who have fitted into the situation here in the United States, and you can find them in every sector, the healthcare, the legal area, the educational sector. There are Liberians who are just contributing to this economy, the society, in every positive way. In the midst of the challenges, like Bernadette mentioned earlier, we have our elderly people over 60 years or 70 years old. Even right now, if you were to come on the Park Hill, Civitan area, you will find these elderly women sitting in this scorch of heat just to try to find a way of what? Recreation, because yes, that is the way they use to live back home, the kind of communal life.
Deacon Telly Brown and Bernadette Ludwig from the CUNY Graduate Center doing her dissertation on the Liberian community. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
The new Little Park Hill, the Little Liberia. Let's get a few other nominations in here of new Littles before we run out of time. Jesse in the Bronx, what you got real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not sure if it's earned a title or anything, but where I live in the Bronx up by Pelham Parkway, a lot of Albanians, it should probably be Little Albania.
Yes, I've been there, and I think that's right. And I think that's been going on for a while. Probably could deserve the title Little Albania. Kyle in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, on Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn, there seems to be a Little Pakistan. There's a lot of little Pakistani shops.
Thank you very much. Jim in Spring Lake, you got a new Little?
Hey, Brian, I don't have a new Little, but I thought this might be an interesting twist for the people studying this. I played a lot of soccer in the New York and North Jersey area for the last 20 years.
Yep.
And it's always neat to see the new teams that pop up when a new flood of immigrants come in, or you can know how an economy is doing in another country. Like, I used to play for Irish clubs. When the Irish economy was bad, we had the best teams in the city.
that's a good way to track, you're right, since it's a worldwide sport. One more from Sunnyside, Queens. Joe, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, hi. My wife and I both taught in Northwest Queens, and as the professor says, it is very, very diverse. It was delightful to teach kids from all over the world. So it's hard to say it's little anything if it's really little everything, but there's an increasing Tibetan population in Sunnyside.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. I got to leave it there. And Andrew Beveridge, Little Albania, Pelham Parkway, definitely. We have 15 seconds. Little Tibet, I think it's also, you know, Little Bengal, a lot of things in Sunnyside.
Yeah, we should look at some of these other groups and see where they're going. I'll try to get that to you before the next round of this.
All right, and we will continue next Thursday and every Thursday this month with Queens College demographer Andrew Beveridge, founder of the site Social Explorer, as we look as Little Italy population-wise fades into history at the new Littles in New York City. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.